Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ethics and Antics podcast. I think this is technically episode 5. Right now, I am currently sat in Nevada, in Las Vegas, at Sean Lee's house. Sean, I first met, we'll get into it, I think, but in Chiang Mai several years ago. And then we met for the second time earlier this year and ended up getting on so well, we were decided, Sean decided to come in on business with me. And since then, we've rebranded and we've gone from strength to strength as a company, got Ben and Bob on board, but it wouldn't have been possible without this man right here. And I've respected him for the first time we met in Chiang Mai. He was making YouTube videos, working with Durian Ryder. One of the first people I heard talk about minimalism. Very inspirational way of life. You were living out of Airbnbs and one-way plane tickets for the last 3 or 4 years, which I'm sure we'll talk about as well. But that was very inspiring. It was like, oh, you can live that way. You know, I've not felt that yet. And then now you've suddenly chosen to settle down. And since he settled down, he visited me in London. I've decided to visit him in Las Vegas in Las Vegas. And here I am right now, Mr. Sean Lee.
Welcome to Vegas, brother.
Thanks,
welcome,
man.
Welcome to my home.
Thanks.
Welcome to my podcast room.
Wow, what a setup, bro.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Mm-hmm. That was a very warm introduction. Thank you for that.
I didn't want to give too much away, but I wanted to say what it was.
You know? Yeah, man. I'm so grateful that we've crossed paths all the times that we have, and welcome to Las Vegas.
Yeah, man.
It's a crazy time to be here.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. A few days ago.
Yeah, I bet you said you hesitated to come because of...
Yeah, there was those attacks just happened the day before my flight.
Right.
And the biggest... You know, not to give it a number, but the, right. What they say, the greatest shooting in American modern
deadliest,
history.
At least.
Yeah, and we just to start an ethical podcast on such a topic, we won't talk about it too much. But it certainly put a hesitation on me, but I try not to make any decisions out of fear. Not right. That I'm perfect. That's
yeah,
still
and I'm happy you kept your plans. I'm happy you're here. I'm happy you got on the plane and that the attacks don't stop you and stop us from doing the things
it
that we want to do.
It should never stop us. Yeah, I think fear and is a method, whether it was done by some angry psychotic civilian or whether it was false flag, who knows, you know, not saying either way, but I'm just right. saying,
at least
regardless,
you have freedom of speech to say those words, but who knows,
just regardless, all I can take from it was that this incident happened in Vegas and I'm not going to let fear affect my decision. And that I came in yesterday and the sun has really blessed me. Went for a nice run this morning, waking up at 4 a.m. with the jet lag, but got on with it and now we're here.
And we're getting to work, as we
work.
Do.
Yeah, we work well together, Sean. So I thought I'd bring myself to you because we work well together in London. You might have seen some of the ethics videos from around that time, March, April. There's one of me training in some Ninja Warrior training. There was in a factory. We went to the factory to check out that. Sean made those videos really nicely.
Yeah, what was funny about the trip to London earlier this year is I was coming just to make a YouTube video with you.
Yeah.
We were just going to collaborate on some YouTube stuff. I was trying to get back in the game. I took some time off from making YouTube videos. I was coming to London to make videos with you, and it was like the second or third day in town.
My former business partner wanted to leave. Hold tight, Millie. Big love to Millie.
Yeah.
But the timings just seemed to be so divine. Sean was in town at the right time looking to make investments in vegan businesses, as any smart man with money would be doing right now.
Just happened to be in the right place at the right time to come in and partner up. And yeah, the company is just sick. What's new? Tell us what's new
with
the company.
Yeah,
because I'm kind of a hands off 4 hour work week kind of guy. So you guys
and you're out in Vegas,
have your playground and tell us what you guys are
so
doing.
So me and Ben are generally we have the office in Derby now. Bob runs a lot of the online stuff with his family, Vegan Geezer.
Vegan Geezer.
Yeah, does that in London.
Benj on Earth.
Yeah, me and Ben run it. From Derby, and we do most of the festivals. You see us in the YouTube videos, and you know Ben's such a cool guy. We've been one of my best friends for a while now, and we've both really been through kind of a tough 2 years. Mm. I don't know if people know about Saturn returns, but we're both 29 now, and they say between 27 and 29, Saturn returns. If you're into astrology or not, just hear me out. Saturn returns to exactly where it was when you were born.
At what age?
Zero.
Between 27 and 29? Between 20,
yeah, so about 28 years old. Uh-huh. It's a 28-year cycle. So the Earth does a one-year cycle around the sun. Mm-hmm. Saturn does a 28-year cycle around the sun.
Or does the sun do a one-year cycle? Anyway, we'll get into that.
Saturn does a 28-year cycle around the sun. And so as it's returning into the exact place when you were born, it unearths a lot of challenges in your life, a lot of beliefs. It unroots a lot of, if you need healing, it will bring up the issues that you need to address. And so Ben and me, I sort of left parkour 2 years ago and sort of quit it and had some issues. Ben was a really cool guy. He was a DJ when I met him, and he was DJing for some, like, a good artist, like tour DJing, and it wasn't satisfying his soul.
Let me chime in and interrupt the modest man here. I mean, when he says he walked away from parkour, you were world champion parkour. He wasn't just amateur parkour, world champion parkour, highest level in the sport. And I mean, yeah, that's a big life change. And Benj was also, he was playing festivals, wasn't he?
He was smashing festivals as a top level DJ.
He's not just a basement DJ.
Yeah.
So you guys were both making big changes.
We were at 20, 27 was just sort of, and then we both sort of addressed it, like, is this really like what I want to do with my life? Not like a conscious thing, it was just intuitively, I didn't feel as connected to it. And I think Ben's the same kind of intuitive as well. And so we both stepped away. He started working at a school for the last 2 years, and it was like a really troubled kids school. And he saw a lot of reflection in when he was growing up, and he thought, if I didn't have the guidance I had, I wouldn't be where I am now. He wanted to offer that to other people. But I could see that it was such a drain on him coming back from work every day. And then
you can only give so much.
Yeah, and I really wanted to help with an opportunity. And he just seemed, it wasn't like he just wanted an out, but he genuinely loves this brand and reps it and knows that we're onto something. He's really into fashion, and he loves vintage clothing, which, in my opinion, vintage is the number one ethical clothing, really.
I hope we can throw up a picture. Anyone who's been in the UK, any of the festivals, I've been to a few of the ethics festivals we've been to, and Benj is just on fire at the festivals. I mean, people know Benj when they come.
He's just a cool cat. Everyone's just like, Ben's just the coolest guy, and he just is. It's so great to just be able to work with him on this and grow this brand. And what's beautiful, as I was saying now, is I've still going through a lot of turbulent times this last year with, you know, shift with a lot of different changes with where I'm living and the business and other things. And then Ben going through it as well. And now we're working together. We're working at the festivals, I've started to do parkour again, and I made some like bridge free running videos, which I was really proud of. And then just recently been to Norway and doing some training out there. And then Ben, we've just did the last week, there was two parties, the ethics. We put on a party at Nana Bar's, their closing party, end of the world, September 23rd party.
That's South London or it's East London?
East London, East Shoreditch. London. Yeah, Shoreditch. So Shoreditch. And we put a party, and we ended up going until 5 a.m. And me and Ben ended up sleeping in my car in the back of
Can we show those pictures?
The car at the back of the, 5:45 a.m. We were just both passing out in my car. And
a good time.
The party was incredible. And to see Ben back, you know, DJing, and people to actually, they see Ben at the festivals, but they don't realize the talents. You know,
I think it's cool is that you guys went out in the world and you guys discovered different parts of yourselves, and now you're bringing it back to the vegan movement.
Yeah.
Like, it's so cool.
And it's like, with, not to make it about me, but with people see my parkour videos on the bridge and they're like, whoa, like they've come into me from veganism.
Mm-hmm, right.
And they're like, they hear the stories that I did parkour, but they don't really connect with it. Yeah. And they've not seen the footage. So when they see me on the bridge, they're like, well, can you do that? Like, they don't realize. And it's the same with Ben. And it's nice when people sort of connect with you because of your morals and beliefs and ethics first.
Yes.
And then they realize that you're talented as well. And I think it's about doing that in life. And it's about, for me, veganism is like what underlines me, but it's not about, I don't want to be Tim the vegan.
Yeah, you know. Right.
And I think we should all try and take note of that and try and be an artist first. Everyone's an artist, a creative, a genius in their own way. And it's tapping into that. And then just let veganism be like this, you know, the salt on top kind of thing. Just the sprinkling, the twist of the lime. And so when people talk to you about, you know, it's what fuels you, it's your life. And it is important in this day and age, but we just don't want it to just be vegan, 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 vegan. You know?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I think that's what drew me to you so much when I first heard about you back in probably 2013. I went vegan same year you did, 2012, and I probably saw you popping up through veganism 2012, 2013. And what was awesome is that you weren't known for being vegan. You were known for something completely different, you know, your athletic performance, and you just happened to share that you were vegan. And I appreciate that so much when people are known for something else. And, oh, by the way, I'm vegan.
And they, like, get the importance of it. Like, they're not just, there's some athletes that are vegan, but they don't really seem to, like, emphasize it. And it's fair enough if they're not ready to.
Who do you think, a couple other people that you admired first for their abilities and then found out they were vegan later? Like, nice surprise.
I don't know. Can you name any? I can't even think.
Like, I was just telling you, Steve Wynn. The big real estate developer. Yeah. I don't know if he's still currently vegan, but you know, the Wynn Casino Encore, I guess, development. When
Mike
I found out he was vegan, I thought that was cool.
Mike Tyson, I remember, when I saw a video of him talking about it, I was so, like, it made me feel so.
You'd never expect Mike Tyson.
You wouldn't. And it's,
to be vegan.
That pendulum swing of, like, extreme one way to realizing that there's suffering and to try and remove that. Steve-O, you know, I think that's amazing.
Steve-O too, yeah.
He really connects with it, and I think that's really beautiful, you know.
Yeah, I think that's so awesome when you find out second that someone's vegan.
Yeah, so I've just got back from Norway. I went on the first ever first ever vegan cruise, ocean cruise. They've done river cruises. This was the first one. There's 1,020 people on there. I'd say about 900 or so were vegan.
It's a massive ship.
100% massive ship. 100% vegan food supplied. 3 buffets a day, all you can eat. You pay once and you get that food. Every day it would stop in a different port, and then it would drive through,
sail
throughout the night, I guess. Yeah, cruise throughout the night to another port, and then you'd wake up in a different bay and go explore Norway, the fjords, and that was a really special moment. Dr. Gregor was on there.
Nice.
First night I had dinner with Dr. Gregor and Melanie Joy, just sat opposite me. It was really
the really cool appealing thing about a cruise is that you just unpack once. Like, in all my years of minimalism and traveling around the world, I never did a cruise. Yeah. But it's so cool, you can just check into your room on the ship, and then it takes you to 4 or 5 different places.
It's like a giant camper van. It's like a giant hotel that moves.
Yeah, yeah, it is. So I will have to check out a cruise someday. Maybe a vegan cruise.
Maybe
vegan
we'll try and put our own one on. But I got so inspired from it, and just the way that, you know, you can give lectures every day, you can give demonstrations. Then I was teaching.
Right, you're posting your fitness classes.
I was doing fitness classes.
Did they ask you to do
day?
That, or just spontaneously happened? Or
they asked me to do one. And they asked me to do one talk, and I was like, right, I haven't prepared a talk, and I haven't prepared a class to do. What am I going to do? And I've not, when I've been used to teaching in the past, I've always just been like a parkour teacher, and it felt quite draining. Like, I was like trying to get, because parkour's for quite
advanced.
It can be quite advanced, and then even teaching some of the foundations is boring, and I just don't find it that interesting. Like, I like to understand the body. I've been in a lot of yoga, I've been in a lot of Ninja Warrior, and my training for that has all been very intuitive, very led by some deeper awareness in me that's, like, not conventional. I'm not trying to do 10 chin-ups 5 times.
Yeah,
like, it's really, I'm never trying to overtrain. I'm trying to be relaxed the whole time I'm training. And then I think the yoga's just blended into it in the way that, like, breathing techniques, getting the right form and posture, way more important than actually just getting out reps.
Is this how you've always thought about training? Is this a recent shift?
A recent shift mixture of I really think you can be led by your laziness, and I think and, like, I don't go to the gym.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
I don't like that feeling of being
of energy.
Yeah, I don't want to be out of breath and knackered and then trying to go again. Like, for some reason, I thought, let me just try a few months of training without that, and I actually progressed really well. With just, you know, just some nose breathing and really mindful training, and just did Ninja Warrior as well from that. And so I just put this into the classes. So I'm just talking through my mind, basically through the way my mind is work and some of the creative movements, which I'd say is like a lot of child's play movements, crawling upstairs, but with the sort of wisdom of an elder who understands posture and mobility. So it's not just scrambling up. It's like thinking about the elbow positioning.
You had like 20, 25 people mm-hmm. on their hands and knees.
Crawling upstairs, yeah. crawling across the floor, doing camel walks, balancing on railings, vaulting over railings.
All like, ages? Or was
all
it mostly,
ages, yeah. From like 12 to like 60, 65. Spinning, did a lot. I put spinning in
Are
class
you breaking a sweat? Are these people...
Just breaking a sweat, but never out of breath. Never out of breath. Yeah. And it was just really an eye-opener for me to go, wow, I have got my own style. You know, I love like Ido Portal and Kelly Starrett, and I really look up to them. And I really study these people in like their interviews. It's not just the movements, but I'm getting like how their mind
their
works.
Knowledge.
And it's just amazing to realize that I've got my own version to bring, and I'm just starting to develop it now.
I hate to put you on the spot, but you know, let's say someone's listening to this at home, and they're just sitting on the couch, and they have you in their earbuds. Can you walk them through something they can do right now on the ground right in front of them that would be a Tim Schieff special?
On the floor?
I don't know, on the floor? Or
yeah, where, I mean, if they a stair set is a great...
All right, let's say they got stairs in their house.
Yeah.
Well, what would you imagine them doing?
Yeah, so I guess put both hands on the second step and then hop both your feet to the step below it and then lift your hands up to the step above and then lift your feet up. And you try and do it with your feet completely facing forward. Try and lock out your knees if possible and try and lift from the hips, from the bum, so you're not just jumping and you're thinking about lifting from the hips rather than pushing off the feet, and you're you know extending out the arms and lifting the feet up and leaning forward in the shoulders.
I'm sure we'll show a clip of that if you're watching the video.
I mean, we got a name for it, haven't we?
What's the name for that?
Not for that movement. That's what sort of camel, I used to call it, two-legged camel.
That's a good one.
But because your back's like a hump. But the name for the actual workout we've come with is Mindful Warrior. And I think that sums it up because from Ninja Warrior...
Mindful Warrior.
It is quite ninja-y, but at the same time, mindful encompasses that, you know, what I said about sprinkling of the salt being vegan and underlining it is like being mindful and taking practices from yoga about
maybe I was wrong. Maybe you don't want people just to listen to your advice and start hopping up the steps. You want people to see very clearly what they need to do and what to be mindful of. So yeah, this is not a quick fix. Tim Schieff is not a quick fix.
Yeah, I can't
program.
Just get in
it's
your ear and do it.
Mindful warrior program.
Yeah, it's about exercises that are quite simplistic, quite creative, quite childlike. They'll have you on your hands and feet, but also. You know, working on the posture and the mobility that we've sort of lost the awareness. Like people don't even know how to walk up the stairs. Like genuinely, right. I see people in the gyms with PTs and they've got them with kettlebells doing one-legged squats and pistols. And I'm like, their knees are just shaking. Their angles, the angles of the ankle and their knees are really bad and the hips. And so I'm at the same gym doing really slow one-legged squats with no weight. And there's these skinny people next to me that go, and I'm like, I just stay in my own world and I don't say anything, but I just know that there's a massive gap and potentially a crisis of people that are just getting their bodies into bad angles.
Injuring themselves.
Yeah, hammering nails in at the wrong angle. They're cashing checks that, you know, that the body can't pay for. And I think we need to address it. And just not many people seem to blur the lines of yoga and workout and stuff. And it isn't like a yoga workout per se, but it's because...
Yoga inspired,
but it's just the right amounts of yoga because it's about breathing right, be a bit about presence and about alignment. You know, I guess alignment's a really crucial thing.
Because how long were these classes on the cruise? Were they in the morning or
they're in the morning? They're about 45 minutes. Yeah,
and it's including a warm up and cool down.
Yeah, and the class itself is partly warm up. It's the real blend. The cool down was like we'd sit and we'd arm and. Or hum, whatever people feel comfortable doing, and then we'd squeeze our knees in fetus position. I think we need to get more comfortable in fetus position because we were in it for 9 months as a baby, and then we grow up and we never, you know, unless we're crying or something, we don't really get into that position. I think especially men, I see in gyms with really tight hips, tight knees, tight ankles, they need they're trapped in their emotions. They need to go into fetus position every day for like 5 minutes a day and just hug their knees chest and just release the spine up there and start
around,
roll around. Maybe. Yeah, play with it. And I think that's one of the big reasons men don't get into yoga is because yoga is way too advanced when you go into a class with lean, flexible, a lot of women with looser hips.
Trying
to keep up. And they're at the class and they can't even think about the alignment. They're, you know, you're trying
to
do down dog.
Everyone.
Yeah, and down dog on a guy, if you don't have flexibility in your hamstrings, puts all the weight into your arms and shoulders and you can't actually relax in down dog. And all the women, their weight's a bit more balanced and they can actually relax, and your bottom half's supposed to lean in your top half like that. Now I can barely do that. My weight's still in my shoulders and I'm knackered from just a down dog. So no wonder they don't want to go again.
Yeah.
So I want to find a way that people can start to be conscious of this stuff.
So your training's not going to crush you the next day.
The idea is that you feel better every day,
yeah.
And that you don't feel, at the end of it, you feel like you could go again. But at the same time, that when you work out, you shouldn't crush your willpower. And this is another thing people do. They go to work out. They know that for that 30 minutes, that 1 hour, they can just mind over matter everything. And this actually burns through their willpower. Then they're releasing endorphins. The adrenaline's running, and so they can do that.
Feel good for that little window.
And they'd feel good for an hour after, and they'd sweat. And then the next day, their body's breaking down. And they're making people make poor choices if you burn your willpower. You've only got so much a day. You know, if your chakras are flowing, you've got more. If your chakras are stiffening up, kids have a lot. Kids are really, they're really flowing. And so
make poor decisions late in the day
that we eat badly and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's about fueling you. So the workout fuels you to go on and make better decisions and to feel freer in your body and to warm you up for the day. And then you can go again the next day and you can build from that. And you might ache in such a unique way that's really like the length of the muscle rather than around the joint. Do you know what I mean? It's like a real, as you start to get the mobility back. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, so I want to say that it's not just a name, Mindful Warrior. It's going to be a program. I mean, so that's the big reveal, is that we're partnering up. We're going to put this knowledge into an organized package so people can see it and experience it for themselves.
Yeah, and play with it and get active and to do it anywhere, any park, or you just need to, like, different workouts for different accessory things. But you just need a bar in a park or a tree branch, a set of stairs. And I mean, a vertical pole, a handrail, like, or just the floor, two lines on the floor. I think a lot of it will be just two lines on the floor, like a car park. Yeah. And there will be parkour movements in there, real foundational stuff. I think a lot of people, parkour is such an amazing practice, but for adults to get into it, we have to really get back to the childlike mobility. Nice. And so this, like I say, the class is real child's play and, you know, elder wisdom combined with it's fun. It's going to be cheap and free for people. Well, free for people to do in that
area.
Yeah,
they don't need the gym membership.
Yeah, you won't need a gym membership.
I love it. I can't wait to reveal it. Reveal more.
Can't wait to capture it. We got to go.
Yeah, right. So that's probably the big reason you're in town, that you've come to Vegas for us to work together.
I was just inspired to do it, and then that week in Norway, teaching class every day was just a perfect focus group I didn't expect to have. Wow. I was only supposed to do one day, and I ended up saying, let me do it every day so I get some practice.
Back to that, let's just pause for a moment. That group of people, you know, pays for a vegan cruise and just as a free bonus basically gets Tim Sheaf as their personal trainer for their cruise.
What a lucky bonus that is
to just happen to be there.
Some people seem to appreciate it.
How often do you have a professional athlete as a personal trainer for free? I think that's like a benefit of being vegan, actually, because vegans
want to
work with other vegans. Yeah. And so you're there because they're all there.
Well, I agree. Vegans. And that was one of the things that inspired me, because there's plenty of people teaching parkour to the parkour community or to, you know,
but they want to learn from a vegan.
I like to take my skills and give it to the vegan community.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather, you know, not, and everyone can join in. It's not about just doing it for them, but they're ready and willing for it. So
I know for a fact I am not the best video editor in the world. I'm not the best podcast producer. I'm not the best YouTuber in the world. But I've gotten to work with so many awesome YouTubers, including you, just because I'm one of the better vegans, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's
a,
right. I mean,
it's a big fish in a small pond.
And, yeah, but I mean,
I hope the pond gets bigger. But it's the opportunities with networking in the vegan community are awesome.
Yeah, it's a good pond to be in.
Yeah. Well, not to jump back to your mentioning the return of Saturn.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I wanted to talk about that because the significance between the age 27 and 29, which you're in that window right now. Mm-hmm. I'm on the other side of 30. Mm-hmm. I'm 31 this year. And it reminds me of a quote that Steve Jobs said at his 30th birthday. I don't know if you know it. I don't know if it's a Picasso quote or it's some quote. It says, before 30... a man makes his habits. After 30, habits make the man. So it's kind of like, I always saw 30 as a turning point.
Yeah.
Like before 30, like I really want to get my shit together and figure out who I want to be so that after 30, I can just be in my peak state, you know, not have to answer those questions. And I wonder if you're answering some things now.
I think
with
that
the
might
return
be,
of yeah. Saturn,
yeah,
if that's significant for a lot of people.
It's crazy,
if
right?
30 is meaningful.
And then finding this, like my own, starting to find my own style, and then the clothing, you know, we put on the parties and Ben's DJing with the other homies from Derby, you know, T-Boys coming in.
They're all about the same age? Or
All about the same age, very similar. But it's like we sort of neglected that side of us, thinking that, right, focus on the clothing and these other talents. And it's starting to be like, no, we're a lifestyle. Like we are vegans, yes, but we're conscious of other areas of life, and we know that it doesn't have to be, being vegan doesn't mean you have to be super serious about everything.
You don't have to be like anyone else.
It doesn't mean you can't party. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, you can still drink and stuff. It is about finding balance. And I know balance is a very funny word. You can use it to, you know.
Like, did you, for a while, you didn't want people to know that you had the ability to party? Like, you wanted to, like, not show that side of you?
Yeah, I was a bit hesitant, but I think it's important.
I think the community is welcoming it.
Yeah, I think especially veganists, when you become vegan, and start to see what's going on with the animals under our noses the whole time. It's quite a trauma, and we all need healing. And I think definitely partying is one way for us to let it out, and especially when you're with like-minded people.
Music, the
energy, yeah. And we did vegan nights 5 days later. And they said that was incredible as well. And there's 2,000 people in Shoreditch in Brick Lane.
2,000.
And 2,000 people, the queues was around the block, and they were running the vibe, and they said they won't do it again without our boys running the music. And this is just a start, a taste of things to come. And it's like, I was even picturing, I was on the cruise when Ben was telling me, and I was just like, I get ahead of ourselves, but we, you know, we've got that foresight. Like, they could have residencies in Vegas.
Oh man.
You know, because
come on over, boys,
just the way they flow, and it's not like a set genre. It's really, they know how to play to, I mean, I know all good DJs play to the audience, but they play to a vegan audience who have got a mixture of like the style. I don't know, it was just, you'll have to, it basically, I'm just saying, if you see there's one and you're able to come to it, I wouldn't, yeah, don't hesitate.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.